Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
All right, let's do some local sports roundup brought to you by Amundsen's Appliance Center. You want to start off with some baseball, softball here, Justice? We've got some games in from the last
week. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a whole – it was tough to get too much going on this last week. But we saw over in the softball realm, we had Chi-Hi versus Eau Claire North right away to start the season with two games there, and Chi-Hi – getting the victory, pretty good victory in game one, and then North kind of battled back in game two. So early season, I think North will be fine. They're going to bounce back from that. If Chi-Hi, once again, just restocking the shed, and it's going to be a tough team and have definitely have a chance to go far, as will McDonald just across the field next door. So it's always those two teams have always are ready to compete when it comes in. Then you got Fall Creek that's been playing great softball, and they're going to be a team to really watch. I think McDonald and Fall Creek softball games in the Clover Belt will be some really fun ones to see who can come out on top in those.
We just had our good listener Luke in the first hour say shout out to the Fall Creek. So beat two Division I teams.
Yes, they played North End Memorial over the weekend. So I mean, that's huge, and that's just a great start to their season, and it's just going to springboard them into more.
When it comes to baseball, is it kind of the usual suspects when it comes to, you know, North and Memorial, River Falls and Hudson, you know, big rivers wise? I mean, usual suspects, do you think, when it comes to this baseball season?
I think so, and I think it's just going to be one of those that's kind of – it's going to take a while to see who's really the top team with all of those. I think the Big River is going to be pretty evenly stacked as far as it goes. I know, you know, Chippewa Falls has a lot of great players coming back, and Easton Bob is – the talented player on their team. So I think Chippewa Falls will be one of those teams to really watch on the baseball side. But North and Memorial, always tough. And, you know, it goes to just how good, you know, the baseball is in this area. Elk Mound getting a couple wins already this year. They're going to be tough. Aliva Strum returns a lot of those players on that team that went to the sectionals last year.
Right.
So they're going to be definitely a tough team too. You know, Fall Creek's getting baseball back. So, you know, for a lot of them, that's nice after a couple of years having a co-op with like Black River Falls. So, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody out there, and I apologize if I am, but it's starting out, and it's just fun. It really is a fun time of year to hopefully get more, you know, as this week looks like it's going to get warmer and warmer.
Right.
Things are going to start getting greener and greener, and you'll really start feeling that baseball feeling.
Speaking of greener and greener on the golf side of things then too, you know, North is always, it seems like they've always got a solid team. Memorial, throw them in there. I know, is it McDonald's? You know, we'll put together a good team. I mean, we know the golf in this area, as you kind of mentioned in the last hour here.
Yeah, it's sensational. It's,
the talent is just unreal here. Kind of the same thing, kind of looks like with, I mean, heck, what you got Spring Valley. That's always, you know, they got a couple golfers almost every year.
Yeah.
It seems like, too.
Yeah, and I think Memorial, I mean, they've lost a lot of the core, but still have a returning state champions on their squad. So I think they're going to be – they'll be fine. They'll be fine. I think McDonald, Regis is supposed to, you know, going to be stacked up this year as well. And, yeah, I think, you know, North is retooling and looking to get back to towards the top there with Memorial. Chi-Hi has been playing much better the last few years too as well. So,
yeah,
like we said, these kids are coming out and are just – as freshmen are just – uber talented, so it'll be. I'm just because I am a golfer, I do take a lot of joy in going out there and covering and watching these guys kind of start from the ground level and see where they end up going to.
You know, it's something that I was thinking about the other day, and I played high school golf too, and it's something I probably didn't have an appreciation for or look back at when I was playing at. But you think about it. And I'm actually reading a book, and it kind of talked a little bit about this. But you think about high school golf or even like at the college level, the self-policing involved with some of these younger athletes that are involved in it. You don't have an official. You don't have an umpire. I've been there. It's hard to sometimes self-police yourself, also self-police somebody else, you know, kind of call them out because, I mean, some 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds out there, it takes a lot, you know. It's like that temptation, like, oh, did they actually see me, you know, kind of maybe touch that ball or something like that, or calling somebody out or something like that. It's a different sport in that kind of aspect, isn't
it?
Where you're not relying, and you can't really talk to a coach a whole lot, you know, depending on between breaks and such. I mean, you're a team sport, but it's really also individualized quite a bit too.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is a lot of these kids are playing tournaments,
mm-hmm.
junior tournaments, even before high school.
Yeah.
So they've gotten that idea of what they need to do. And if you say like a Will Schlitz, I mean, he's been playing tournaments, high-pressure tournaments, probably for the past 7-8 years. Yep. So, I mean, to win a state title and now have a chance to come back as a senior and do it too. I mean, yeah, I think that's the big thing is that these kids have just, it's been ingrained in them. And I, mm-hmm. you know, I always wish you played high school. I didn't start playing until I was like 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, man, I wish. So like, as much as my kids probably aren't into golf right now, I'm at least, I've opened that door.
Right.
Because it really is a sport that you can do and will stay with you. And as you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably still too obsessed with my golf game. But mm-hmm. it's one of those that it's nice because even like you go with the self-policing. It's one of those that you can go out in your backyard.
Right.
And really practice for, you know, there's not many sports that an almost 44-year-old man can go in the backyard.
Exactly.
And practice and not look like a fool. Like, I'm not going to the park and trying to work on my jumper anymore and stuff like that. But,
right.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those that it's really fun to see these kids grow into men, like a Thomas Longbello now who's doing the mini tours and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was thinking about that the other day because I'd read a quote somewhere and I'm like, probably didn't appreciate them, but it's like, sometimes it's a lot to ask for, you know, some of those younger kids. And I don't think they kind of realize that because I feel like, at least maybe when it was during my playing time and such, you know, some people would just join up because, hey, I get to go play some free rounds of golf. Right. And I
get out of school early.
Yeah.
Yep.
You go golf and then you go to a tournament. It's like, ooh, it's a little different. It's a little bit more pressure packed. There's a little bit more going on and that.
Yeah,
it's
you can't use the foot wedge.
Yeah.
Exactly. In a tournament.
Yep.
So
it's shout out to all the, like, I got a special place, and obviously I know you do too. But I almost feel like too, I'm almost getting kind of that appreciation, that love, or that passion for the game is starting to almost burn a little bit more now in me. Like it was gone for a while.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. After high school, it was like gone for a long time, and I don't know if it's just because it's Masters Week that I'm feeling a little bit more nostalgia involved. But it's like, ooh, I'm kind of like I kind of want to like really go out there more now.
It's weird because I started playing, and then I think it was like within 2 years I'd broke 40.
Yeah.
Like playing nine back then, because that's all I could really afford was just go play nine.
Yep.
Up in Abrams, the home of Bob Wickman.
Nice.
But so then I was like, oh, I could be pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And then I plateaued and then fell off.
It's a drug, though. Isn't
it? It really is. It's one of the most addictive sports you can do. And now, like, the last, and so I have the peaks and valleys where I was bad. I was really bad, came back, kind of got to a point. And then I think a couple of years ago, I plateaued and fell off again, and my swing was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I have worked, like, I know this isn't the Justice Cleveland story of how I redeemed myself to go shoot an 83 or something like that. But, like, it is one of those, still at 44, I want to go out there and get better every time I do. And I had to, like, rebuild my swing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in like, a lot of times, like, if you're playing a sport at this point in your life, you're like, If I have a bad softball swing, I'm probably not playing softball.
Yep.
Anymore, if I can't shoot a jumper anymore, I'm not. But I think with golf, it's one of those that just really. I think it's a perfect time to talk about it with Masters Week. I mean, how much that game, just watching it, is the passion. Well, I still want to be out there every day.
Yeah,
because there's still that dream. There's still that dream. You're gonna have the perfect round. I've never had the perfect round of that. I feel like I've ever shot.
And
where
you're kind of competing against yourself. I mean, you're competing against others, but really you're. It's not like you're playing one-on-one against somebody, you know, in basketball or going up against a defense in football. It's you and the course that you're competing against.
Right. You might have somebody out there with you that might motivate you just to do something, but it's between your ears.
Yeah.
A lot of it is in between your ears. And yeah, I don't know. My wife probably just puzzled how I can show so much passion for something that, you know, it's not going to, I'm not going pro.
Right.
At this point, I have 6 years to make it to the senior tour. I always joke about this. Like, I got 6 years to get ready to turn 50 and get to that point.
Hey,
so.
my old high school coach, Coach Vara, I don't know if he's listening. Sometimes he does. But last year, he tried qualifying for the senior at senior open at Century World.
Yeah.
You know, but still able to do something. Like, I would love. I don't know if I would love. I would have to really focus. Like, part of me almost wants to play one more tournament.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get that feel again. That competitive drive.
I've only done. I did it.
I don't think I could.
Yeah,
because I stink now. But that's one of those is like you can't take a long break and just expect to get back and you know, play at a high level, I don't think.
I did a club.
And I was never at a high level, but, you know, just it still frustrates me. Like, why can't I swing or shoot some scores like I did when I was 17, oh, yeah. you know, 18
right.
years old?
It's that natural, like, and that's the thing with golf, too, is your body changes as you get older. Mm-hmm. So you have to adjust everything to that. So something you did.
Can't go all the way back sometimes.
Yeah, that flexibility tends to go. So, yeah, I mean, I'm one of those guys who's like, man, I could used to be able to just drive the ball. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, the distance isn't there, but the accuracy is there.
Mm-hmm.
More.
Right? Yeah.
I can say it's always there. But, yeah, I think it's one of those. If anybody's out there who hasn't taken up golf, I will always push people to go for it. Try it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're bad for a while, like if it connects with you, you'll strive to get better. And it's one of those things. Like, you can be doing this for the rest of your life. So.
It was a transition, I think, too, for me because – and I was not a good golfer. I would not say I was a good golfer. But like whenever I would go with friends in high school and college, there was always this competition. Like, we got to beat Dan because he plays.
Yeah. Know? So you're the target.
Yeah. So it was like, and that just kind of ruined it for me. Like, I just want, and then it finally, I got over that. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there. I might shank more than I know, but I don't have that like target or mindset anymore. It's like, okay, I got to play well because they're expecting me to play well.
I mean, I was a fiery player for a long time.
And I saw some people and those sort of like how they acted and like hitting clubs. I could say names, but I won't. But, you know, like hitting golf bags or something like with their club or hearing them yell. And I'm just like, now I look back at that. I'm like, no, I don't want any of that.
Yeah. I'll still, I mean, if you just hit like three in a row that are bad,
oh, yeah.
you'll still get it.
Yep.
But it, I mean, I
such
used to,
a mental game, man.
Yeah, I used to be so fiery. I mean, mm-hmm. there's clubs that no longer
are they in play. The bottom of a pond somewhere?
Or? Not in the bottom of a pond, but don't have shafts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That
yep.
My biggest one was I was playing Princeton. This is when I was first here, and I got to the ninth hole, and I was at even par. And I still have never shot an even par nine in my life. I've mm-hmm. shot in decent rounds, but nothing ever even or below par. And I got to the ninth, and I hit it into the pond.
Ooh.
And so I'm still like, okay. And I hit it into the pond again. I ended up taking a 12.
Ooh.
My 3-wood did not survive. And that was a moment, like, that was a breaking point for me where it's like, you can't act like this. Mm-hmm. Anybody sees you out there, you just look like a little petulant child, mm-hmm. like, breaking a club over your knee, which graphite shaft, or not graphite shaft, but yeah, it was graphite.
Yeah.
That hurts. I had a bruise on my leg from where I broke it over. But yeah, it's like that was a point where it's like, you know what, you're an adult now, act like an adult. So mm-hmm. that's what this game can teach you.
Yeah.
It can teach you many, many lessons. It'll humble you real
easily.
Quick. So yeah, that was my 43 mm-hmm. that I shot with a 12 on on the final hole.
Oh my good, you tin cupped it.
I did. I really did.
You
tin cupped
it.
That was at that moment. I was Roy McAvoy.
Oh, on that note, you know, so I know we got soccer and tennis is going on as well. So would you say this is kind of like we're about week two in and
yeah,
really kind of kicking into full gear on the prep side of things at least?
Really, yeah, now everything's mm-hmm. going on. Track and field's been going on for mm-hmm. almost, I'd say 3 weeks, almost a month here because they've had a lot of those indoor things. So
right.
Yeah, I think especially this end of the week, if we get into the 60s like it is, the activity level really ramps up. So mm-hmm. yeah, hopefully we're getting out there a little bit more this week than we did
right.
last couple weeks.
Blue Gold wise, they got a new men's basketball coach. I know you
yes.
were at the presser. I heard your questions. I was watching on the stream as I was waiting to pick up Hudson in the school line over there.
I've been there.
Yeah. So we're actually going to be talking with Coach Zach on the next episode of the podcast. It'll drop on Thursday.
Oh, nice.
So, but UW Green Bay spent a year over there as an assistant. Winona State, part of those. That run for Winona State, back-to-back national championships, was a key player over there, Holman native too. What was kind of an impression you got maybe from your interaction with him or just listening to him talk, like a passionate basketball player? What was kind of maybe your first impressions from
I think passion is a good way to feel it. You can really mm-hmm. feel it coming through. I mean, how much he loves the game.
Yeah.
And he appreciates this opportunity. I mean, for a guy to be able to come from Green Bay and get back to here to Western Wisconsin – And his first head coaching job be right around his, home in an hour and 10, yeah. 15 minutes away. I think it's really cool. But, yeah, I think you could see that. And I think the players that were there from the team could see this is a guy who has a track record, a proven track record of winning.
Mm-hmm.
What he did at Winona State as a player,
yep.
not just as a coach, but as a player as well. And then to go over to Green Bay with Sundance Wicks and have
be a part of that resurrection
yeah,
of the program.
It was
really.
Like 3-29 to 18-14 or something like this last year.
Yep.
I mean, that's amazing to do. And there's similar situations as somebody who grew up in Green Bay to a team trying to get back to its glory.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay has struggled for years since basically the Dick Bennett era.
Yeah.
I mean, that the place was hopping. People were passionate. I mean, that was the second game in Green Bay. It was Packers, UW-Green Bay. Those mm-hmm. were the two things that were going on there. And, you know, you had the Tony Bennett's of the world, Eric Norgaard's and stuff like that. So that was a huge for him. And it's similar here because I think people are trying to get back to that Ken Anderson glory.
Which I thought was a cool little nugget that he just kind of said, you know, the first call he got was from Ken Anderson.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool. You know, just kind of you just dropped it in there. But I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and having Ken there in attendance, mm-hmm. too. I think, obviously, he's a big supporter of Blue. You'll see him in the stands all the time still, too.
Yep.
I think everybody always wants to kind of get back to that spirit that was.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about people from that era, how big it was. And that's not discounting what's happened throughout. There's been some really good teams and really good coaches. I don't want to discount them.
Right.
I think everybody, they're just looking to get back to, with a new arena, the place being jam-packed and it really being just a center of excitement. So
yeah.
I think Zach Malvick, to me, seems like a great choice.
Yeah.
Again, with the track record, what he's done, just talking to him, you could feel the passion come out. So I think it's mm-hmm. going to be a fun ride to watch and see what happens this year.
You could kind of almost get the passion out of listening to AD Jason Verdugo, too,
yes.
talk about the process. And I thought it was like, I could imagine that being a little intimidating when he was talking about, you know, talking with Coach and looking into his eyes and just kind of, you know, it's like I could just almost feel that intensity just watching that on the stream a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, and I think for Verdugo, obviously, this is, you know, it's a big hire, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's had some hires before already, and I guess we got a good Winona State pipeline coming on right now.
With
too.
Coach Riley, yep.
Yep, and then Chancellor Schmidt, too.
Chancellor Schmidt, yep.
Yeah. So it's really, I think, it seems like a good hire. It mm-hmm. really does. I mean, time always tells with this, but, I mean, first impressions were great.
Yeah. So excited to get to chat with him here coming up a little
yeah,
bit later, too.
Yeah, and I think
it'll
be a great chat. I mean, mm-hmm. from our little interview afterwards, I mean, just mm-hmm. so passionate and so well-spoken. It'll be easy.
Absolutely. Well, your pointers are getting the better of the Blue Gold baseball team here, too. I know they got a game today as a makeup from this past weekend. But, you know, speaking of Coach Riley, this is his first year, but I think you're seeing a different type of Blue Gold baseball team, if that makes sense, from the last couple of years. I mean, there's been some close games. There's been some grind-out games. I know last week against Oshkosh, you know, there was some close ones there in Oshkosh. And Point Two, I mean, they've had some pretty darn good success in baseball at the Division III level. There just seems to be a different vibe with this baseball team
bit. And I think you'll see it. I mean, it's, again, you're back to ground level and building up.
Yep.
And if you can keep guys on the team, keep that cohesion, and you have guys like Walter Johnson who came mm-hmm. back and are playing well, mm-hmm. that will build.
Yep.
And I think there's an excitement. And when you have guys on the staff like a Bob Johnson from the area here.
Yeah.
In this area, we're talking about it before. There's great baseball talent, not just in this whole, let's mm-hmm. say, a 50-mile radius of here.
Yep.
If you can get that talent to come and play, it's huge. So I think I think that team's going to do nothing but keep on rising.
Exactly. And I know softball, you know, they're getting close to starting some WIAC play, which, you know, that's always going to kind of – that's like the second part of the season. I know it's conference play and all that, but really for softball, it almost feels like that's the real, you know, second half, you know, really when things kind of get going, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because you had the Florida trip and the mm-hmm. you know, the games they had down in Illinois, and then – to be 10-6 after that, I think they're mm-hmm. they're excited after a team that kind of, you know, finished under .500 last year.
Right.
Is trying to, you know, get those younger cogs to help and get mm-hmm. the wheel spinning a little bit better here. So I think that's a team, too, we've seen. And Leslie is one of the best coaches in the country.
Yep.
And that staff there. They're
going to get Robin Baker back on staff,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, exactly. They're going to get it going here, and yeah, it'll be exciting to see what they do once conference play starts.
Which is this week, and they got St. Norbert's, hopefully weather-wise, that'll
kind
of play out. But
I was funny because I think they had St. Benedict they were supposed to play on Sunday. I believe that's the same team that, like, every game they tried to schedule with them last year somehow. it's like a curse or something that they just can't get that game in against them, so...
Man.
Yeah, and then Tim Fader with the wrestling getting
D3 Coach of the Year, man.
Two awards last week for just how great that wrestling program was this year. And
mm-hmm.
It was nice that he got shouted out during the basketball presser. And
yep.
What a run so far.
I mean, have you seen, just off the top of your head, I know this might be kind of a tough one, but because we've seen the program, what it was just a few years ago, where, I mean, struggling to even get guys.
Right, you're going on campus just trying to find enough to fill out the team.
To where he comes in, a few years later, he's coached there, he's got national champions. I mean, the quick turnaround. I should say quick. I mean, it took a, you know, it was a building.
It was a build, but I mean, to go where they were.
Yeah.
To where they are now is just amazing.
I can't think of another time I've seen something, you know, like this.
No, that's such a build up. The only thing I can think of is on like the high school level when Eau Claire North built up to where they were.
Yep.
When they made it to state. I mean, you get a team that really was. I mean, they were kind of left for dead for a while there.
Right.
At the point where you're, and then Fader comes in with the pedigree he had and just has turned it around and brought excitement to it. So, yeah, it's been just really fun to see.
Absolutely. Yep. Shout out to Coach Fader over there. So, all right. That's our local sports roundup here this morning.